Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles lessons to improve your game and win more matches while getting to know some of the top doubles players and coaches on the planet. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my weekly strategy newsletter, and my website all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, consider becoming a Tennis Tribe member to go even deeper and take your doubles IQ to the next level. Members get access to premium podcast episodes, weekly video lessons, monthly strategy webinars, courses, ebooks, gear discounts, and a lot more. Go to thetennistribe.com/memberships to see all the benefits and sign up. Here's today's episode. So I've been doing this podcast for almost 5 years now, and my favorite conversations are with those coaches or players who are able to articulate an idea or get information across in as few words as possible. So another way to think about this is they're basically the opposite of politicians. You can imagine a politician, at least especially here in the States, where they will get up there, they'll make a speech, they'll talk to the camera, and they'll say absolutely nothing over the course of 30 minutes or an hour. Nothing gets across. No information gets across. They avoid questions and so on. Now, my favorite interviews are the exact opposite of that. I will listen to 5 or 10 minutes. I will talk to someone for 5 or 10 minutes, and I'll want to re-listen to that over and over again, and I'll learn something new in that conversation every time. And that's what you're about to hear. Louis Caille is possibly the best doubles coach in the world. He is the senior performance analyst for the LTA. He works with all of the top British ATP doubles players. And I chatted with him for about 25 minutes in Melbourne. And we talk about the tournament overall. He's there managing 5 teams. I ask him how he's able to do that. He talks about how some of the results had been disappointing to that point. However, less than a week later, he did have a team win the Australian Open in Henry Patton and Harry Hillivaara, whose direct coach I interviewed on the podcast several days before, which you've already heard. His name is Calvin Betton. So Louis talks about how he's able to manage 5 teams, his role with the LTA, and how he's developed this kind of British tennis system. And you're going to learn so much, whether you're into ATP doubles or just trying to improve your own game strategically. I ask him how much weight he puts on his team's strengths versus the opponent's weaknesses. He talks about the difference between the performer and the player. He uses one of his teams as an example that recently had a bad performance in the Australian Open, and he doesn't even analyze the match because they didn't show up mentally. So he talks a lot about that, and it's got me thinking since that conversation a lot about how to make sure that I am getting the most out of players mentally before I even go to the strategic side. He also talks about what he's changed in terms of his coaching style over the last 20 years. We talk about mistakes that he's made. He talks a lot about language that he uses with his players. And this is something that I'm trying to improve on myself, and I really want to emphasize it for you. This language might not only apply to coaches, but it also applies to you as a doubles partner. If you're somebody who listens to this podcast, you're very into strategy, you may not play with players who are as tactically minded as you all the time. So how do you get them bought in? It's a question I get a lot from a lot of you. I want to do I formation, but my partner just wants to do regular and he doesn't want to think about all that stuff. Well, Louis has some specific tips in terms of language that you can use to try to get them bought in to these types of tactics. He also talks about how the game has evolved, And then we talk about rule changes on the ATP Tour and what we can do to make doubles more popular. So whether you're into the Pro Tour, whether you're into your own game, you can hear how excited I am about this episode. I'm definitely going to re-listen to it here very soon, and then probably multiple times throughout the year, because I learned so much. But if you're involved in doubles at all, this is really a must-listen interview with Louis Caille. So without further delay, enjoy this super insightful and helpful conversation with Louis Caille.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. I am back in Melbourne, and this time we have one of the best doubles coaches in the world on. We have Louis Caille. Louis, welcome.
Nice. Thanks for doing this with me, Will.
Yeah, of course. So how has Melbourne been so far? You've got two teams into the quarterfinals tomorrow. How have the 2 weeks been for you?
It's been quite good. I think we don't have any issue with practicing, really. Here, of course, practicing on site, but they have NTC, Albert Reserve, Strachey. There's a lot of place. So training, which is important because my job is to train the players, is not an issue. Was here with four teams. We have a WhatsApp group and we timed the practice that nobody practiced at the same time. So the players have learned to work together, being very cooperative. They learn to support. They all wish that each of the other teams succeed in the tournament. There is no envy. So I'm quite pleased to have I would call that the British double system, a system where players support each other. So that was good. As a result, our concern, two teams out of the four and a quarter. I was expecting a third team, which was Joe Salisbury and Nils Kupski. Let's say their opponent played very well, but they will agree a counter performance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not the day for them. And so I was expecting, which happened quite often, to have three British teams in their quarters. So that's it. And there's a player, Luke Johnson, now, who played with Sander Ahrens, and they start to really progressing well. They lost 7-6, 7-6, but it was a very, very high-level match. So I'm quite pleased. Beside one match, I'm quite pleased with the way it went so far.
Awesome. So we've got two British teams into the quarters. It sounds like you were expecting three. But you started, I emailed you before the tournament to try to set this up, and you said you're managing five teams here, which seems like a ton. And then this morning I messaged you on WhatsApp, knowing that neither of your two teams in the quarters play today, thinking you'd have more free time. And you sent me a message saying that you were on court from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. So you seem unbelievably busy. How do you manage five teams? How does this all work for you? It seems very...
It is very difficult.
Yeah.
But, a few years ago, the LTA said we have to become decentralized. So therefore, each team needed a traveling coach. Mm. So even if I'm often the kind of a bracket leading coach, because sometimes the traveling coach, I know them already, like Nils Kupski, it's Ken, which I coach for 8 years, Joe Salisbury. Anyway, pretty much everybody, I've either mentored them, coach them, stuff like this. So I'm quite often the leading coach, giving the objective and all this, but I'm not traveling full time with them. And so my point is the traveling coach take care of practice court, practice ball, whatever, all the organizational is done. So me, my main thing is to look at the match. We have someone scouting the opponents, like you do sometimes for the American. Mm-hmm. So I receive, like today, the scouting, all the match are tagged. So I can see, for example, for the next opponent, just their second serve on that court, just the return of just the eye formation when they do it. I can see pretty much whatever I need. And then I'm part of the group to share what I think we need to do to beat them. Mm-hmm. And after their match, today, right down the practice, the thing that we need to refine for the next round. So it's quite easy because I have each team have their own traveling coach to do everything and to so that's it. It's like We work really as a team. So each team has a coach, and I'm kind of, I'll call that consultant leading coach.
Yeah.
It's kind of a funny role because I'm supplied by the LTA, but the players and their traveling coach agree that I'm leading the direction that the team should go.
Okay.
But it will not be possible without a traveling coach. It will not be possible without the scouting done in London by the LTA scouting team.
Of course, yeah. And it's obviously a system that's had a ton of success over the years. I want to ask a strategy question real quick that I always like to ask people. How much weight do you put on your team's strengths versus the opponent's weakness?
I think every coach will say, on big points, you have to match your strengths against the weakness. So I think it's a mix-up balance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to... Okay, I look at the weakness, and if it can be matched with this is the way we play, this is our strength, and we can attack that weakness without changing our game style,
sure,
then we're going to do it for sure.
Okay.
There's no problem with that. If their weakness means that we have to change all our game style, then we're going to hesitate a tiny bit.
Okay.
So, but at that level, the weakness are not so big. What I look is on the scouting, is more at what they never do. So if we, you'll see when you scout, because you're doing that more and more, you will see that sometimes they never poach on regular, or they will never poach on second, or they will never serve tee from regular on that side, or they will never serve wide on eye. And if you look at the stats, and what never happened is really solid based on several match, then the receiver can cheat, stuff like this. So for me, some weakness is lack of uncertainty or lack of ability to see everything. Mm-hmm. And that's match our strength, because then it means like we're going to modify our positioning and be able to return more offensively. And that's it. And, or some players will never lob opponents who will really close in. So I think for me, a definition of anticipation, because everybody talks about anticipation. Anticipation for me, it's either read technically or predict tactically what the player will do or will never do.
Yeah.
And I think as me, when I scout, it's not try to see what they always do, because it's rare. They always have a variation. It's more looking at what they don't do. And that's very, very instrumental to win matches, in my opinion, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That makes a lot of sense. It's so nuanced, and that question doesn't have like a clear answer, which is why you have the long answer there. I'm curious, what's something, you've been coaching doubles for a long time. What is something that you've changed, either changed your opinion on or changed about your coaching style in the last, say, 20 years or so?
Coaching style has to change because society changed. You cannot talk the same way. You cannot be as directive. You cannot be as forceful as many years ago when it was even the trend in coaching to be like tough guy and you know, stuff like this. So not that I was very tough, but things change, communication change. You have to learn to more when you mature. When you're a bit younger coach, you want to feel that you make a difference, feel